Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to see everybody this morning. It looks like most everybody got their clocks in the right order and everything this morning. But we are so glad to see you on this first Sunday in Lent. As we begin the Lenten season, Lent is a time where we reflect on our lives. And I'll say a little bit more about this in the message. And where we're at in our walk with the Lord, and then in preparing our hearts for coming into Holy Week in that last week of Jesus's life. So, but we are so glad that you're here today. We want to welcome all of you. We want to welcome those that might be listening online later on in the week. And today we are going to be talking a little bit about the tests in life. And so I made a statement here that I put up on there, and I'll say more about that. But it is in the difficult times of life we discover who we are and what's inside of us. So we'll talk more about that. So as we begin today, let us begin our season of Lent by standing together and joining and singing our Gloria Patria. Join together there in our bulletin for our call to worship. Welcome home, beloved children of God. Abiding in God, we seek grace and strength.
Sheltering in God's love, we come to grow in love.
Even as we face life's wilderness journeys, well, let's join together there this morning. If you'd like to turn in the hymn books, it's hymn number 94. We're going to be singing Love Divine, All Love Excelling. Thought it was only three verses. That's all right. Well, let's join together for our opening prayer there found in the bulletin this morning. God of love, we live not by bread alone, but by your living word. For your word is the bread of life. Speak life to us now in our hungry wilderness. Guide us through this season of Lent, that we may open ourselves to your blessing and give of ourselves to others in love. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. I'm going to invite our kids if they will come down this morning. Boots on today. How's it going today? Come on. How's it going today? Good? Okay, all right. Let's see. Is everybody in school or at least preschool? I think everybody kind of is. Yeah. Okay. So now in preschool, I don't know. Chase, do you remember? You didn't have tests in preschool, did you?
Not really.
Yeah, not the way we think of today. Now, some of you are that older, Mary. What grade are you in, Mary?
Kindergarten.
Well, yeah, they have some tests once in a while, don't you? So, how many of you like to take tests? Yeah, you know what? I didn't like taking tests either. Does it make you nervous? When the teacher says, okay, it's time for our spelling test. Get out a piece of paper. That doesn't bother you?
No.
Okay. Oh, you have one on Fridays? Yes. You know what? I don't remember what day, but I think there was. Every week we had a spelling test over different words. And you're like practicing to get those words down. And sometimes tests are not always fun, though, are they? Now, I knew a few kids that love to take tests. They just thrive on it. But for most of us, I don't really want to take a test, you know. Because sometimes they're hard. Guess what? As you get older, you're going to take more tests in school. And in college, if you go to college, you're going to take tests. But guess what? As you grow up, you're going to face all kinds of tests in life. What kind of tests do we face in life? What do you think? Now, I'm not talking about school tests here. What kind of tests do you think we take? What do you think? Whether you're going to listen to mom or not? You think that's a test? Oh, he does. But then he shook his head. Or grandma or somebody. Is that kind of a test? So when mom says you have 30 minutes to clean up your room, I don't know if they've ever said that to you before. Maybe they have. Do you kind of see that as a test? Yeah, see, those are kind of tests that aren't fun, aren't they? Or how about when everything goes wrong that day? You're getting dressed for school. You can't find the clothes you want to wear. Although I'm sure for many of you, probably mom or dad or somebody, gets your clothes out ahead of time. Do they get those out ahead of time and have them ready for you? Yeah, that makes it easier, doesn't it? Yes. When I was little, I remember mom always had my clothes laid out. She usually had a couple different ones so I could choose. I usually wore jeans every day, so it didn't matter. But you know what? What if mom didn't do that, and you're like, oh my gosh, what am I going to wear today? Oh no, what should I wear? Does this go with this? Oh no. And you start stressing. And then all of a sudden you get mad or frustrated. You're like, Mom, what do I wear? And Mom's in the other room getting ready to go to work. Mom! And it's crazy. Has that ever happened to your house?
No.
Wow. You must have a perfect mom and dad. Man, nothing must ever go wrong. Whew. That's a good thing. But sometimes you know, whatever, make sure our hair is brushed, although I bet Mom helps with that morning, doesn't she? Or Dad. Yes, I remember brushing my daughter's long hair and
it stuck because there's rats in there.
What?
Yes, rats. And when I finally got them out, they crawled down their back and ran away. Well, here's the good thing about chess. And I think I said this about school chess before. Jesus went through tests. And that's what I'm going to be talking to the adults about. He faced tests that challenged him and who he was. And guess what? Jesus passed every test. And you know what? He's there every day to help us when we face tests in life. Yeah, and as you get a little older, I may talk to you about maybe some more difficult tests that you may face. Okay, you guys can go on downstairs this morning. That thing I shared about brushing my daughter's hair and the rats thing, they giggled every time I did that. I heard you guys laughing a little bit. And yeah, because it was either, ow, 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 ow. You know, Dad, stop it. So I tried to make it a little more fun for them. Well, we're going to go to our time of prayer this morning. Maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share before we move on this morning. And we want to let you have a chance to do that. So anybody would like to, go ahead. Yeah.
Kimmy, Cameron's mom, is having foot surgery on the 13th. She's been in pain for a couple of years, and she's finally getting the surgery, and she's scared of death.
So. Aww.
Her Aunt Lindsay.
Is it something they're going to do in the office, or is it more serious?
It's a...
regular, like, surgery? Oh, okay. That I do understand. Yeah, that time. Yeah. Yeah, so we definitely want to remember Kimmy in our prayers this morning. Yes?
I have a choice. I'm going to be a great grandmother.
Oh, going to be a great grandmother. Wonderful. Wonderful. Somebody else? Yes? Unspoken this morning? Yep. I think I saw a couple hands. Oh, go ahead, Roger. Okay. No. Well, I guess I thought I did.
I'm just so thankful we got spring and the week before. It's like we're going to get nice weather.
Yes. Yes, it's supposed to be up in the 60s here in the middle of the week, but you know Ohio, it could... We already experienced that once, and man, after I experienced that day and that was 60, I was like, oh, I'm ready for this. So, yeah. Somebody else? Yes. Unspoken, okay. Somebody else this morning. Joy's a good
yeah. Yeah, just a joy in for prayers. Mom and Dad are, they've decided to move ahead. They're going to take the retirement home, which is good news. And my nephew and his wife are going to buy their condo.
Oh.
So it really, everything is just working very smoothly. It's just prayers that everything.
That's a good thing, yes. That's always a good thing when it works like that. So we want to remember Dex's family and his parents and all of that with that smooth transition. Somebody else? Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for prayers for my sister. Plan A for her surgery worked, which was ideal and the best case scenario. We were able to get clean margins. They're pretty confident they got all the cancer out. She had a little bit of trouble with low blood pressure yesterday, but she was able to come home late last night, like 8 or 9 o'clock. So.
That's wonderful. So we are thankful to God, and thank you so many, church, prayer chain, people on Facebook, and everybody that prayed. And so we do appreciate that. And just also keep her in your prayers that her blood pressure will even out there. The issue wasn't high, it was low. And so appreciate your prayers there and then for recovery Somebody else. Anybody else this morning? We want to remember Ellie. And I don't know if anybody's heard anything. If they have planned a date on surgery next. But I'll try to find out more about that. Richard Walker this morning for recovery. He had a second spinal surgery. They went in through him. They did it with the holes. And they came up into his neck area, I think it was, the higher part of his spine. And had to deal with a few things there. And because they did it with the holes, Judy said that he was so much quicker recovery coming out of everything, the anesthesia and everything, much faster. And compared to that like 8-hour one that he had months ago on his back. So, but yes, for strength and recovery from him. Anybody else before we go to prayer this morning? All right. Wow. Last week we had tons, and this week just a small amount, but we definitely want to lift those up. So as David will have something that played for us there, you can pray quietly in your seats or bring any of your own needs to the Lord, and then I'll come and close us out. Lord, we're so thankful today that when we come together to worship, that we are able to take some time to talk to you, to pray for others, friends, family, loved ones, church members that are facing trials, facing difficulties in life, facing the challenges of life. And especially in, it seems like so often in the area of health and in our bodies, Lord. And we thank you that as Paul tells us that our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. And so we know, Lord, that you care about us and you care about our bodies because of that. And so today, as we enter this Lenten season, we ask that you would continue to work in our lives and draw us closer to you as we reflect on Jesus's life in the weeks to come and his teachings and his actions and what he did for people. And then, Lord, as we come into Holy Week and remember what he did for us and came out on the other side of death, as we celebrate that Resurrection Sunday at Easter. Lord, we want to lift up those today that have been mentioned today. For Kimmy, Lord, who's going in for foot surgery, we ask for that you would guide the surgeon's hands and that they will be able to fix and mend and correct, Lord, and that you'll give her strength and your healing grace and be with her during that recovery time. And may it be a speedy and strong recovery, God. Lord, we lift up Dex's family and parents. Thank you so much for that smooth transition that has begun. And we pray that it'll continue to go in that way and that you will continue to guide and bless there. Lord, we thank you for bringing Jill through that surgery. And they were able to get everything. And we just pray for strength and healing and wholeness. And we pray that that her blood pressure will come in line with what is they consider normal, Lord. And thank you for that and everything you've done there. We lift up Ellie, Lord. We just pray. I don't know when she's going to be having that surgery. We just pray that you will guide and direct there and lead in all of that. And also we lift up Richard this morning. as he's recovering, God, we just ask for your strength and healing for him. And may this help him to be able to get around and function better and not experience the pain that he was experiencing. And we're grateful and thankful for that. And Lord, we're just so glad that we are able to gather as your people and experience your love and your presence and your grace today in this place. We ask your blessing upon each one, Lord, that's here today. And Lord, we ask that you will just guide and direct them. Those, Lord, that mention unspoken requests, we ask that you would meet those needs and work in those situations. And Lord, maybe those that are here today that couldn't share something, but they lifted it up to you during that brief moment of prayer. God, that we just agree with them now, asking that you would work in those situations and in our lives. And Lord, as we break the bread of your word today, may you feed our souls and remind us of how faithful you are. And no matter what tests and trials we face in life, that you are the one that has gone before us and that you will be there to help us through, and that your Holy Spirit empowers us and comforts us through all of those situations that we experience in life. And Lord, as we come at the towards the end of the service to the time at the table today, Lord, may your presence fill us, and that we will experience not only your forgiveness and grace, but we will go out strengthened for the journey each week and every day. As we thank you for all of these things now, as we ask him in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you for praying with us this morning. Appreciate that so much. And I know the ones that are on the receiving end of those prayers really appreciate it. Well, we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving today. And thank you so much for your faithfulness. And if you did happen to receive one of those little envelopes, you can put a cash in there or a check. And if you write a check for it, you make it out to the church. And then, because we send out that money to Sonka, which is our association, which then goes to the National One Great Hour of Sharing fund there to help around the world. So you can throw those in today. So as our ushers come this morning, God bless you as you give. let's join together there in our bulletin for our prayer of dedication. Generous God, we thank you for all the good things we receive in Christ and from the work of our hands. Bless the offering we share. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. And, I want to just say this kind of publicly. I know they're gone for a couple weeks going out to Kansas to see the grandkids. But I want to thank Carla, who takes several hours and goes through and plays all these songs and records them in the piano so that we can enjoy that when she's away. So I just wanted to say that. Well, let's look at our scripture reading this morning, and it's coming from the Gospel of Luke. It is our lectionary reading for the first Sunday in Lent. And so we're going to be reading Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Jesus returned from the Jordan River, full of the Holy Spirit, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. There he was tempted for 40 days by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and afterwards, Jesus was starving. The devil said to him, "Since you are God's son, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus replied, "It is written, people won't live only by bread." Next, the devil led him to a high place and showed him in a single instance all the kingdoms of the world. The devil said, "I will give you this whole domain and the glory of all these kingdoms. It's been entrusted to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. Therefore, if you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, you will worship the Lord your God and serve only him." The devil brought him into Jerusalem and stood him at the highest point of the temple. He said to him, "Since you are God's son, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and they will take you up in their hands so that you won't hit your foot on a stone." Jesus answered, "It's been said, don't test the Lord your God." After finishing every temptation, the devil departed from him until the next opportunity. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Well, you know how I like to share something funny. I've shared this a long time ago. I don't remember the last time, but I thought I'd share it again because I think it fits a little bit with what I want to talk about today. Years ago, and when I was looking at this week, a note included that this was happening on the Ohio State University campus. Now, I don't know if this is true, but just for that. Years ago, approximately 1,000 college students entered the hall for a calculus final. One guy entered the test needing a decent grade to pass the class. His only problem with calculus is that he did very poorly when he felt rushed. And the professor was known for barking out how much time was in the was left in the test time over and over again during the test. He figured he wanted to assure himself of a good grade, so he hardly flinched when the professor said, "Pencils down, stack your Scantron sheets in piles in front of the room on this table." 5 minutes turned into 10. 10 minutes turned into 20, 20 minutes turned into 40, and then almost an hour after the test was officially over, the student finally put his pencil down, gathered up his work, and headed to the front of the hall to submit his final. "What do you think you're doing?" said the professor. "I'm turning in my exam." "I'm afraid I have some bad news for you, son. Your exam is an hour late. You failed." And consequently, I'll see you next term for the same class. The student smiled slyly and asked the professor, "Professor, do you know who I am?" The professor was a little stunned, a little annoyed. The student showed no emotion. The student rephrased it kind of mockingly and says, "Do you know what my name is?" "No," snarled the professor. The student looked at the professor dead in the eyes and said slowly, "I didn't think so." And then he lifted up the scantrons and slipped his in the middle of the stack and walked out of the room. I don't know, he faced a little test there, didn't he? I want to talk to you this morning about passing life's tests. Passing life's tests. Well, Lent has traditionally been a season in the church where we acknowledge our sins and our mortality, and a season of drawing closer to God in Christ through various practices such as fasting, prayer, and usually almsgiving, which is like giving to the poor or those in need. The readings that, the scripture readings in the lectionary that appear for the first Sunday in Lent have always included one of the gospel stories of Jesus' temptation or testing in the wilderness, whether it comes from Matthew, Mark, or Luke. John doesn't have that. But today, because of our lectionary season that we're in, we're reading from Luke's gospel. And as I was thinking about that this week, I started to think, how did Jesus handle these tests in the wilderness? And then I want to ask, how do we handle our tests in life? So let's begin there by talking about in the wilderness. In the wilderness. We all face tests in life, obviously. We all face tests in life. And if we go back to the book of Genesis, Adam, or Adam, which means the human, and Eve, which means mother of all living, face tests. And we know that ultimate one, that they fail. Israel, who is referred to in Scripture as God's firstborn son, struggled with various tests for 40 years in the Sinai desert following her rescue from Egypt. You know, we know the story about the Red Sea, and if you ever saw the movie Ten Commandments, yes, you understand what I'm saying there. And now, Jesus, who God says, "You are my son, in whom I'm well pleased," is tested. And notice how he's tested. If you are God's son, or since you are, depending on how you translate that word, he's tested in the wilderness, not for 40 years, but for 40 days following his baptism. Like all humans, we all face tests in the wilderness of life that are difficult, challenging, uncomfortable, and sometimes unbearable at times. Oftentimes I find, as a pastor, seeing what people have gone through the years, at times it's almost been overwhelming for me to see some of the unbearable things that people have gone through. It's never easy. Jesus said that we will go through hard times. We will go through troubles. He said that. He told his disciples specifically that, but he said, "Be of good cheer because I am with you no matter what we're going through." And as I was thinking about that, I started to think we don't really know what's in us until we're under pressure. I can't remember who sang it. I should have looked it up. But when I was thinking about that, I think there was an 80s song, late 80s song that goes, "Under pressure." Does anybody remember that song? Yeah, "Under pressure." That's the only part I can remember about it. But yeah, I love that song. There was something about the tune about it. But yeah, I mean, when we're going through pressures and testing and trials, we find out what's in us, don't we? Because a lot of times things come out of us that we don't always like to see at times. And here's what I want you to see in the midst of all of this and what we're talking about this morning. When others failed, Jesus prevailed. That's what I want you to see this morning. If you don't take anything else out of this message today, take that. Because we all fail tests in life, don't we? I mean, it doesn't matter how long we've been living. You could have lived a short period of time and you're a teenager, or you've lived your whole life almost. And tests, they're there. And we probably all failed them at times. Adam and Eve were beguiled and missed God's best. Israel lost her bearings in the wilderness and missed God's best. But Jesus overcame. And he remained faithful to the very end. You know what? You and I, too, may lose our bearings at times. But I want to remind you that Jesus is faithful even when we are not. 2 Timothy 2:13 reminds us that when we are faithless in life, Christ is faithful. And that's the good news of Lent today. In the wilderness. And then trials that test us. Or that challenge who we are. Trials that challenge who we are. They test us in various ways. Jesus faced tests that challenge the heart of his identity as God's Son. If you are the Son of God, or since you are the Son of God. And notice that's in contrast to the previous chapter, chapter 3, where Jesus was just baptized and the voice from heaven said, "You are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That was the two things that he heard in those moments. For Jesus, it challenged who he was as God's Son, the Messiah. And what kind of Messiah would he be? His own or God's? And it's interesting, when you read through the gospel stories, even the disciples themselves come up and challenge Jesus about what he's doing and who he is as Messiah, because they already had preconceived ideas of what the Messiah should be. The Messiah should be a warrior who should come down and bop all those Romans on the head and get rid of them and stop them from oppressing God's people. But that's not what he did. In fact, he did just the opposite. Here's some things I was thinking about as you think about those three tests that we read. Will Jesus bypass God's will in order to use his power to benefit himself? Will he bypass God's will and surrender his allegiance in order to grab power over the kingdoms of the world and people? Will he bypass God's will and test God in order to avoid suffering? Will he follow God's way? Well, we know the answer. He did. And you know what? These tests have not changed much for us today, because we too face tests that challenge our identity as God's children. For Israel, it challenged who they were as God's liberated people. Over 25 times in Deuteronomy alone, it says these words, "I am the God who brought you up out of Egypt." 25 times, just in that book. And the battle for them and their identity is in the wilderness. When everything started going wrong, and their first trial was, there's no water. The next trial, what are we going to eat? Guess what they wanted to do? They started grumbling and they wanted to go back to Egypt. Whoa, wait a minute. Every time I've ever read that story, and I guess there is something about comfort, but man, they were being whipped and they were slaves and they were building pyramids and everything else that was going on. Why would you want to go back to that? Keith Green was a Christian singer from the 80s and 90s, early 90s. He wrote a humorous song called So You Want to Go Back to Egypt. Let me just read a few lines out of this song because I love it. And then it even gets a little more sarcastic as it goes on. But so you want to go back to Egypt where it's warm and secure. Are you sorry you bought the one-way ticket when you thought you were sure? You want to live in the land of promise, but now it's getting hard. Are you sorry you're out here in the desert instead of in your own backyard? And then it goes on there. But you get the gist of it, don't you? It's a very humorous song that he wrote. And I remember when I first heard it, and it kind of made me chuckle because we are sometimes like that, aren't we? And for Christians, the challenges and tests of life, again, challenge those tests and trials, challenge who we are as God's baptized sons and daughters, who are called to walk in newness of life and put to death those destructive desires of this world. That's why at Easter time, we often, you'll hear preachers say, remember your baptism. Why? Because Paul says we've died with Christ so that we could rise to walk in newness of life in baptism. Now, we can face those things, but what helps us along the way? Well, the stories of Scripture can help us pass the test. And Luke doesn't just tell us this in a vacuum. Because at the very beginning of our reading today, it says that Jesus went out after his baptism empowered by the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit was with him to do that. And the Holy Spirit is with us today to help us in our trials, in our struggles, in the things that we face, the tests in life. And Jesus resisted the trickster's deception by staying grounded in the old story of it is written. What is that? It's Scripture. It is written, you shall love the Lord your God and only serve him. And we too resist such temptations by staying grounded in the old, old story. Remember this line? The old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story. Yeah. And you know what? I don't know why God chooses the wilderness, but God does. And we discover who we are and what's inside of us in life's tests. We don't really know what we're made of until we're under pressure. But the good news of Lent today is Christ has passed the tests and was faithful till the end. And he is able to help us in passing life's tests also. You're not alone. God is with us. Christ is with us. The Spirit helps us. Amen. Amen. Well, we are going to prepare our hearts today to share in communion together. And before we do that, like always, we are going to share together in our thanksgiving and confession. And so I have that up on the PowerPoint. And if you'd like to join along and pray with me this morning, that would be a wonderful thing as we prepare our hearts to meet the Lord at the table today. Let's join together, would you? Gracious God, guide us forward in this Lenten season. When we are tired beyond words, lift us up. When we are faithless in life's tests and stray, have mercy and pour your grace into our lives. Great Shepherd, forgive us and guide us back to you and the path that leads to life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Receive today from him. 1 John tells us that whenever we confess our sins, that he is always faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And his grace is available at the table today as we share together. I'm going to invite our deacons and deaconesses if they would prepare as we join together at the table this morning that are helping to serve us. And I will be inviting them to come today as we share. On the night which Jesus was handed over, he took the bread and gave thanks and he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's partake this morning. Later, Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's partake this morning. The Apostle Paul said, "As often as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we are proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes." Well, let's just take a few minutes and shake a few hands and greet one another this morning. And then we'll close out with our chorus there, "Praise the name of Jesus." Well, let's join together as we close out this morning. We're going to be singing number 6, the little chorus, "Praise the Name of Jesus." I believe we will be singing it through twice this morning, and then we'll be heading out this morning. So. Praise the name of Jesus, praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock, he's my fortress, he's my deliverer, in him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus, praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock, he's my fortress, he's my deliverer, in him will I trust. Praise the name of Jesus. Let's join together for our benediction in the bulletin. With God as our guide, we enter the season of Lent.
With Christ as our companion, we are strengthened for the journey.
May the peace of Christ, the love of God, and the encouragement of the Holy Spirit be with us this week in trial and rejoicing. Amen.